Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. People often ask me about my personal experiences. What's the worst thing that's happened to you as opposed to what's happened to your clients? And I've mentioned before, I've sued many insurance companies over the years for various things that they've denied paying to my clients, but I've also had a bad experience myself with an insurance company. And I'll tell you the story. And I've told the story before, so I apologize. I may have mentioned it here and there in the past. I'm not sure. I'm starting to lose track of what I talked about in my 500 some odd videos. But a while back, I've mentioned before that I had a Jeep Wrangler, a white Jeep Wrangler, and I bought it brand new, so I had full coverage on it, and I live in Michigan, which is a land of ice and snow, and in the winter time, I walked out one morning to my Jeep, and the doors were gone. Now, they didn't fall off, they didn't evaporate, they were stolen, and in fact, there were footprints to indicate where the thieves had gone, and where they took my doors when they left, and so on, but my doors were gone. And if you know much about Jeep Wranglers, especially ones with cloth tops and the cloth tops of the doors, you understand that those cars are terribly insecure and that you cannot lock them up very well. And the doors could be removed at that point in time by removing two nuts. Literally, there's only one on each door. You undid the nut, lift the door off, and boom, you're gone into the night. So I walked out, doors are gone. I'm like, ugh, I know, I'm wearing a suit and a tie. I got to be in court that day. So I go inside and I call my agent, and I actually at the time actually had bought insurance through an agent who had sold me also insurance on the home I was living in and another car. So this agent got business from me for homeowners and two cars, okay? And boom, he knows this. So I call the guy up and I go, hey dude, I go, the doors are stolen off my Jeep. And he goes, oh, that's too bad. But he goes, you know, get a police report, which I did. And then he goes and take it to a dealership and, you know, do what you got to do to get the thing back on the road. And I go, well, you know, I can get it to a dealership myself because I lived 1 mile from a Jeep dealer. I said, but you know, I doubt they've got doors in stock. And it turns out they don't. And you know, so I'm going to need something to drive. He goes, oh, don't worry. He goes, you're covered with rental insurance if your car is undrivable. And I go, okay, cool. So I drive my Jeep over to the dealership and I take back roads there, which isn't that hard. Again, a mile away. And I get there and freezing cold and I pull it in the service bay and the guy looks and he's like, okay, knows immediately why I'm there. And I say, you know, stolen insurance claim. Here's the claim number. Do your magic. So the guy brings out a rental car, I jump in the rental car. I'm gone. And the dealership calls me later that day and they go, hey, Steve, we've got a problem. They go, Jeep doesn't actually sell the doors as complete units. We've actually got to buy all the componentry and paint it. And then assemble it, put it on, because it's going to take maybe a week or so. I said, okay, well, take your time. I just want it done right, you know. And a little while later, I get a phone call from my agent. And he goes, Steve, we got a bit of a problem. I go, what's that? And he goes, your Jeep is drivable. And I go, no, it's not. I go, the doors are missing off of it. It's wintertime. You're in Michigan too, aren't you? Actually, he was in Michigan. I know where he was sitting. He was in an office, I believe, on Telegraph Road. And I go, it's Michigan, it's wintertime, the Jeep's got no doors on it. He goes, but here's the thing, he goes, I went to file your claim, and one of the local people, I forgot the name of the title, but he goes, they came back to me and they said, isn't a Jeep drivable with no doors? And he said, you know, I think you got me on that one. He goes, because you drove the Jeep to the dealership, didn't you? And I go, yeah, I did, but I took back streets to get there. I froze myself doing it, and no, the Jeep's not drivable. And the guy goes, but I told him you drove it to the dealership, and they said, well, if it's drivable, he can keep driving it. So how long till they get the doors in? I go, they said about a week. He goes, can't you drive it for a week? And I said, no. One of the things I bought when I bought my brand new car was the hope that I could drive it around comfortably year round. And the guy goes, well, then how'd you, and he's trying to act stupid. He goes, well, then how'd you get at the dealership with no doors on? You drove it, didn't you? And now, here's the thing. He knows I'm an attorney. I hate to pull the attorney card, but occasionally I will mention laws if it ties into a conversation. And I said, well, here's the problem. I go, it's illegal to drive a Jeep in Michigan with no doors on it, technically, because a police officer could pull you over and say, why don't you have rearview mirrors? They are on the doors that were stolen. And if I said, well, they were stolen, the cop is going to say, well, park the car until you have proper stuff because you're supposed to drive your car with all the equipment it came with, including rear view mirrors, headlights, bumpers. Many of these things are actually required by law. And the guy goes, oh, so you broke the law and drove your car illegally today, did you? I go, yes, I did. So what? Does that void my policy? And he goes, well, no. But the point is, he goes, your car is perfectly drivable. I go, let me ask you a question. I go, you're my agent and you represent the insurance company, but you don't make the decisions on when they pay claims. But you're my agent, correct? And he goes, yeah. I go, so you represent me and you're supposed to be representing me and defending my position to them, right? And he goes, well, yeah, of course. I said, so right now when you're arguing with me about whether my Jeep is drivable or not, I go, whose side are you on? And he goes, well, you know, when I talked to them, they told me that your Jeep is drivable. And quite frankly, you know, they made a really good argument. I said, did you explain to them that driving it would not be street legal in Michigan? And he goes, well, no, I didn't make that argument to them. And I said, well, why don't you call them back and make that argument? I go, because right now I'm in a rental car, which I got into on your advice. You're the one who told me I could get a rental car. He's okay, I'll call him back. So, of course, I go on about my business the rest of the day. Guy never calls me back. So the next day I call him, and there's nothing worse than a sheepish person who doesn't want to give you an answer, so they just don't call you. And I get him on the phone. I go, hey, what's going on? He goes, yeah, sorry, dude, I tried. I go, you tried what? He goes, I told him your car is not drivable without mirrors on it. And he said, but then they asked me, then, how'd you get it to the dealership? I go, did you then counter by saying if he'd had it towed to the dealership, he would have asked you to pay for the towing bill also? I was trying to save them money. You know what I mean? Simply driving a tow truck over and connecting the vehicle and bringing it, even a mile is going to cost them money. I go, I saved you guys money. I'm being punished now for saving you guys money. And he goes, I don't know about that. He goes, but the fact that you were willing to drive the car like that means that we think it's legal. And I said, did you consult an attorney? He goes, no. I go, did they consult an attorney? He goes, oh, I don't know. I go, no, did they say, oh, we've consulted an attorney and the car is legal to drive? He goes, well, no, of course they didn't say that. I go, so right now you're telling me that they are going to pay to replace the doors, but they will not pay for the rental vehicle. And he goes, yeah. I said, okay. He goes, you're fine with that? I said, no, but we'll deal with it later. So I was thinking about what I should do here, because obviously I'm an attorney. I can file lawsuits by just hitting my keyboard with my elbow. And the dealership called me up and they said, Steve, we've got a problem. I go, what's that? And he goes, we can't get all the parts for your door. He goes, a couple of them have been backordered. It's going to take a couple extra weeks to get your parts. And I said, here's the problem. And I told him the story about the insurance company. He goes, well, we'll take care of this somehow. I said, okay. So they called me about a week and a half, 2 weeks. It was well over 10 days I had the rental car. Pretty sure. And the guy calls me up and he goes, dude, your car is done. Come get your Jeep's done. Come get it. So I go to the dealership, walk around it. The Jeep is beautiful. They did a wonderful job. I checked the doors. They look brand new. Everything works perfectly. They had done a perfect job of assembling, painting the doors. Great job. I said, fabulous. I said, now what do we do about the rental car? And the guy leans over and he goes, right now business is slow. It was our fault that you had it for the length of time you had it. He goes, we're going to eat the whole fuck. We're going to eat the whole thing. You can't prove I was about to say anything. He said, we'll eat the whole thing. I said, really? And he goes, yep. And he pulls out the sheet, rental car, no charge. Boom. They waived it. So I drive my Jeep home. I'm happy. I walk inside the door. It's before 5 o'clock. I call my agent up and I said, hey, I got news for you. He goes, what's that? And I go, I just picked up my Jeep. It's fixed. And he goes, great. Are you happy? And I said, well, here's the issue. I said, they also waived the rental because of the fact that it was partly their fault for the length of time it took to fix. And he said, cool, then we're all set then, aren't we? I said, no, we're not all set. And he goes, why not? I said, do you remember when I asked you guys if you would authorize the rental? And you said, no, because my car was perfectly drivable. And he goes, but that doesn't matter anymore. It's a non-issue. Who cares? I said, I care. And he goes, okay, then I don't understand. What are you upset about? What do you want to do here? And I said, I want to cancel two auto policies and a homeowner's policy. And that was the longest silence I'd heard in a long time on a telephone. And he goes, why? I said, because I've discovered how this company will treat me when I file a legitimate claim. I can't trust you guys to honor your own policies. I said, so I'm going to call somebody else and get insurance on both cars and my home tomorrow. I said, so I'm going to call you back tomorrow and confirm, but we're going to be canceling everything. Two cars and a house. And he goes, oh, I wish you wouldn't do that. And I said, Should have thought of that back when you told me that you sided with the insurance company about not paying the rental car. Now, here's a funny thing. I told the story in more than one setting before. By the way, I did that. I did. I canceled the two policies and the homeowners. And I had several people call me and say, Steve, it wasn't his fault. So? I don't care. He works for the company that tried to screw me. You can't say, well, he didn't screw you. The company did. There's no way to cancel a policy without canceling it through him. But number two, and here's the bigger problem. I had people say, Steve, this story is unbelievable. Like, this is just crazy. And it is. It is crazy. But here's the funny thing. I told the story once, and someone who was listening actually contacted me and said, Steve, I'm curious. And they actually threw out a couple factoids that I'd not put in any of the stories. And I said, how'd you know that? And he goes, I used to work in that department at, and he named an insurance company. He goes, let me guess, it was them. And I said, yep. And he goes, there was a time when they were paid, in essence, like a bounty for any claim they could deny where they could show, we almost had to pay this money and we saved it. And they'd give you a slice of the money you saved. And he goes, they were incentivized to deny claims. He goes, they couldn't deny the claim on the doors. I mean, they could accuse you of theft or something, but he goes, but here's a perfect example. They can pay part of the claim and deny the other part of the claim. And who's going to file a lawsuit over that? And that's what happened. So if I hadn't been comped, in essence, by the dealership, I would have had to face the thing. Do I want to sue them over this? I would have. I would have because it wouldn't cost me a penny. But the average person wouldn't file that lawsuit because who's going to pay your attorney fees? And they know that. They know that. So that's why they deny borderline claims or even claims that they ought to pay, but they know they can make an argument like, oh, we thought the car was drivable in Michigan in the wintertime with no doors. Okay? So that's the craziest thing insurance-wise that's ever happened to me personally. And if I think of other crazy stories that affect me personally that I think you guys might enjoy, I'll pass them along as well. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.